Praise Yahweh, everybody. Pastor Buddy, I'm joining you live. Praise Yahweh, right here around the world on WWRV 3.185 Clear Channel. Glad to have you in here. Part 3 tonight, a price of a woman and her headship far above all rubies. Tonight we're going to talk about the head covering. Should a woman wear a covering for her hair? For her hair is given for a covering. You ever thought about that? Well, we're going to get into the aspects of the word. It's a big controversy again. If you're contentious about it, don't wear it. If you are trying to please the Father, in certain instances, I believe that you need to. We're going to try to, separate the wheat from the chaff, and the facts from the fiction, or the traditions from the word. Now, let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. We're going to read verses 3 and 6 and 13 and 16. As we get started here, I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of a woman is a man, and the head of Christ is God, and every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesies with her head uncovered, dishonors her head. Now, what does this mean? Is there something wrong here? Well, we're going to find out, and we hope and trust that your spirit will agree with the word, and that the word will be to you a lamp to your feet, because that's what the word's all about, a lamp to your feet. And if you will obey his word and walk upright before him, there will be a blessing for you in the things that you do and obey. For every woman that prayeth or prophesying with her head uncovered dishonors her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if a woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Judge in yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto Yahweh uncovered? Doth not nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. For her hair is given before a covering. I want to read that again. I want to accent this. I want you to pick it up. I hope you can pick it up in your spirit. For her hair. Let's go back to the part just before that. For a woman to have long hair is glory. I want to back up on that again. If a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, and her hair is given her for a covering. Not that the hair is the covering, but she has the hair, long hair, for a covering. Now, if she's not covered with a veil, if she wants to uncover her hair, she is to shave off her glory. Now, if it's a shame for her to do that, then most women would feel ashamed to have a bald head. It would take away her glory. So her hair is given for a covering, her long hair. And if it's covered, let's see if it's a veil that covers it. Notice this. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head. Now we're talking about hair given to a man for a covering? No, we're not. We're talking about a man to uncover his head. So he wouldn't necessarily have to take off his hair to uncover his head. Just like a woman should not take off her hair to uncover her head, or to take off her veil to uncover her glory, which is her hair. That glory would be reserved, if she is a virgin, to Yahweh. Now, if she's married, then she would keep it on because of headship. A man is over, or the head of the wife. Now, her head being covered, it's not exposed. And so we only have one head here, representing the headship company. That's why we call it headship. Yahweh himself is the headship. Now, Yahweh's head is on the body of Christ, which was made visible. It was an invisible body, flesh. It became spirit, it was. And it came and uncovered itself and unwrapped itself in a flesh body. And now it is a glorious headship, a company of mighty ones. Yahweh himself, man under Yahweh, with his head uncovered to glorify Yahweh, and then the woman's covered to keep her head hidden in the presence so that there won't be two heads showing underneath of the order, the divine order of Yahweh. Now, there are several passages that I'd like to cover here. That headship is in divine order, and it applies to married women especially, since single women are directly under Yahweh without a husband between her and the Father, unless we assume that every man is over a woman, like her father, her brother, her uncle, and when, as she ages, her son, her nephew. Clearly, only husbands are men here when it talks about headship. Let's notice in Genesis chapter 24. Now, Rebecca was being brought from her country to meet her future husband, which she had never met him. His name was Isaac. And Isaac was sitting in the field meditating, praying for the servant of his father Abraham to bring him someone that he loved, that he could live his life with. And lo and behold, and Rebekah lifted up her eyes as they approached. She saw Isaac in the field meditating. And she lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off her camel. She got down from her camel, for she had said unto servant, "What man is that that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore, she took a veil and covered herself. Now, why would she do that? Was this out of respect? She was approaching her head, headship. She was going to submit. You know, one of the marvelous things about a woman is that she has no problem submitting. A man has, he'll wrestle, he'll resist, he don't like to give in. He don't like to be under someone else. But a woman has a submissive spirit about her if she's a meek, humble, Holy Ghost-filled woman. She's submitting. And here is the practice of the wife's head covering being established as a practice long before Paul wrote in Corinthians, I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and that the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. And every man praying or prophesying having his head covered. You see, Isaac did not cover his head. He uncovered his head. Because the glory that his uncovered head represented was Yahweh. Her, in this instance, Rebecca, his to-be wife, in submission, covered herself with a veil. Now, what do you think she covered? She covered her glory. This glory was to be revealed only to her husband. It may be symbolic, but Yahweh never has forgiven Eve of what she did in the garden. She still bleeds 12 times a year, showing that that sin has never been covered except by the practice of blood. In this case, it's not a veil. You see, the sin of Eve was covered with blood, so it's still a covering. She's never uncovered herself. As long as she bleeds, she covers. When she quits bleeding, she uncovers herself, and it exposes herself that she's pregnant. You say, well, what's that got to do with the price of apples? Well, let me give you the practice of a wife head covering that was established in the case of a woman before the priest when her husband suspected her of infidelity. The priest, it says, and this is for the law of jealousy, when a husband was jealous of his wife and suspected that she might be playing the harlot, but couldn't prove it, he was to take the charge to the priest. And the priest would set the woman before him and uncover the woman's head and put the offering of memorial in her hands, which is the jealousy offering. And the priest shall have in his hand the bitter water that causes the curse. Numbers chapter 5, verse 18. He uncovered the woman's head. What for? Was that a practice of trying to uncover the fact, just like Eve bled 12 times a year? Once a month she had a period, what we call a period. She issued blood from her vagina, which is what she used to bring sin, the initial sin, into the world. And Yahweh has always covered that with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. You see that? Just like the covering of blood was for the vagina, the covering of her glory, and I can prove she wasn't covered in the garden. This is something I want to make a point to you at this point. Eve, both Adam and Eve, were naked in the garden. Now, we assume that she had long hair. But her hair was exposed and not covered. Now, remember it says in 1 Corinthians, Paul is recounting what happened back there. He goes through this. It's a shame for a woman to be shaved or shorn. It's a shame for her to pray to Yahweh uncovered, because if she does this, she dishonors her head, which is her husband. She dishonored her husband in the garden by having her long hair a glory, in which the wise one, the shining one, the crafty one, the deceitful one, the sly fox in the garden, he was really turned on by Eve. He had to be. For him to lust knowing that it was wrong. The angels were not to marry. The angels were not to engage in sexual activity as man to bring forth. And then after the fall, we have a precedent set that a woman's hair should be covered. Now, her hair is not given for a covering. Her hair is given for glory. But when she's in the presence of someone else other than her husband, she is to cover her head. When she approaches Yahweh, she's to cover her head in prayer. When she's in or she's suspected of being untrue or unfaithful, she is to uncover herself. And the priest shall uncover the woman's head. He knows this. And the priest shall uncover the woman's head. Well, if hair was her covering, as some people say, then he would have had to shave off that which was covered. But Paul said that's a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven. So the priest didn't shame her. All he did was uncover her glory in that moment. Then she's exposed. And then the offering of the bitter water, she's to drink that. And then, at that point, she is judged whether she has played the harlot. The point being, in order to uncover, she had to be previously covered, and to be previously covered would have to date back to Eve when she came out of the garden. She herself was clothed by Yahweh, and her hair, which was her glory, had to be covered to keep someone else from lusting for the hair or for her glory. And today, in the West, we have lost this tradition. You notice the Muslim women. And not only the Muslim women, we have sisters that cover their head when they pray. Which is good. We think that's good. We don't demand it. We don't beat them if they don't. We're not offended if they don't. That's between a man and his wife. Now, if he wants his wife to go out and expose her glory and become a temptation, then Paul said, if you're contentious, we don't have any custom like this. You've got to be fully persuaded in your own mind what you're going to do. You don't beat a woman because she won't cover her head. When Rebecca lifted up her eyes, she covered. When Satan lifted up his eyes upon Eve, she was uncovered. But when they left the garden from that point, just like her bleeding from the womb 12 times a year, which was a covering, it was a spiritual covering. All blood is for, and it's one of the most fascinating things that this happens to a woman. It doesn't happen to a man. It happens to a woman. And we all know that it's not pleasant for a woman to have an issue once a month. She changes psychologically. Her body changes physically, mentally, and spiritually. But as long as she bleeds, that means that there's no sin in her womb. When she gets pregnant, then the blood stops, and there's no more offering for that sin, and the child that comes forth from that womb is going to die. Otherwise, if it wouldn't die. It was meant for Eve to conceive in the garden, but not by the serpent. But when she transgressed, because she was uncovered, Satan lusted for her. And that's what Paul said. That because of the angels, there you are. Because of the lusting of the angels, a woman should be covered. I mean, he just brought it right out, and if you can see that. Now, she had to be priestly covered. And the passage that I just read you here makes the assumption that any wife brought before a priest will be covered, or should be covered. And from Saul's comment, Paul, in 1 Corinthians 11:16, but if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom. Every man must be fully persuaded in his own mind. And if he wants his wife to be uncovered, basically, he's asking for trouble. It seems clear that Paul was taking for granted that the custom of wives, or sisters here, females, covered their heads. Now, what kind of covering? Is a woman's hair given to her for the covering or for a covering? Is the hair covering for the woman? No, that's where the glory is at. The glory is in the hair. That's what the Bible said. Now, the hair is given for a covering. When she prays or prophesies, or when she's in the presence of a public, a people, she should remember the headship. Yahweh himself is the covering for man. So man uncovers his head so that the head of the glory of Yahweh could shine upon him. The woman, in order to be one flesh, she covers her head and keeps it hid in the presence of Yahweh when she prays or prophesies, or when she's in the presence of others. And then the hair given for a covering would have a veil upon it, just like Rebecca had one, or like the woman that was suspected of infidelity. Her veil was lifted off of her head to expose her glory, which would be her long hair. Now she's naked and open. Now her conscience comes into play. When she drinks the bitter water, something psychologically happened, just like the same covering aspect of the blood for the woman who is not pregnant. But the blood will cease flowing, or the covering or the offering for sin will cease when she is no longer bleeding. Now, let's look at the word of cover. The word in the New Testament is Strong's number 2619. Katakalupta. Katakta. Lupta, which means covering. Paul said in verse 11, judge in yourself, is it comely that a woman pray to God uncovered? Kaptaluptas, Strong's number 177. Note that uncovered is a kaptoluptas, is the opposite of a to-cover. Katakalupta. Basically, it means to uncover or unveil. Now, we have a man uncovered and a woman covered in a command. Now, where the confusion usually comes in is when people are contentious. A woman knows that her hairs are glory. She sits too long and brushes her hair or combs her hair or takes care of her hair. Most women that you see, their hair is neat. And if it's uncovered, it becomes a temptation. And the longer it is, the more temptation it is for a man or an angel. But so far, that's what the Bible said. If a woman have long hair, it's a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Parabolon. Strong's number 4018. Parabolon means something thrown around, like a veil or a mantle or a vesture. Hair is more like a glorious decoration given to a woman, and the longer it is, the more glory it is. Now, we know that long hair is probably a problem for a woman, especially now the poor women have to get out and work. It can also be dangerous if it's not kept up. So most women that, I'm talking about this proverb woman, where her price is far above rubies. Now, if Paul, in the 11th chapter here, where we're addressing the issue, if he had meant the naturally occurring hair to be a covering and the headship type covering to be one and the same, he would have used the same word for each. Instead, a woman's natural hair covering, parabolion, is being contrasted to this other covering, katakalupta, that women wear. In fact, the katakalupta actually covers the parabolion, each one separate and meaning opposites of one to cover and one to uncover. Saul is showing the contrast between men and women, and he says men are to be uncovered, women are to be covered. He uses the different words, one to uncover and one to cover. In a woman's case, he used the word to cover. In a man's case, he used the word to uncover. Then he says, by pointing out that even in nature, a woman is given a covering by her long hair, which is her glory, but he makes the assertion that hair itself is a suitable head cover to be covered. A suitable cover. You see, it's her long hair glory that causes men to lust. And really, I'm a man, I know. The longer the hair, the more attention a woman gets. Now, if it's covered, you can't see that glory, and it's reserved for her husband. But if the natural hair was sufficed to be a covering, then the hair wouldn't have been given for a covering, and the two words would have been identical. That the man would have hair to cover his head, so therefore if hair would be the covering, the man would have to shave his head. And a woman, to be covered, would have to grow her hair long, and the longer it was, the more glory. Well, that's what got... See, she was uncovered in a garden. This is my point. She was uncovered. And Satan lusted for her because she was uncovered. And Paul said that she should have power on her head because of the angels. Now, what's the power? The covering. What's the power in the garden? To keep an offering before Yahweh as a memorial, blood, a covering. Blood covers. It's the same thing, excepting that the blood is to cover a sin that was a result of the glory that she had on her head uncovered. You see that? It's marvelous what Yahweh's done for us. And nature itself will teach you that. Don't you know it's a shame for a man to have long hair? When a man gets his... Now, I do have a little different understanding about the length of hair. You know, most Western men get what we call the Greek haircut, which is we don't want it to be too far down over our ears. We get aggravated when hair, if we're used to this. But in the Bible, they had longer hair than we wear today. We know that to be a fact. There's instances that indicate that men had hair that was quite long. Compared to a woman, it would have been short because a woman never cut her hair. But a man was commanded to pull or to cut or to trim his hair in the Bible occasionally so that it wouldn't become a shame for him. Because once he grows his hair down, let's say, to the ground, and he can if he lets it grow, he would start looking feminine instead of masculine. Now, if his hair was to his shoulders compared to his wife, which was down to the ground, which one would have the long hair? And so in relationship, it doesn't say for a man to cut his hair up above his ears. The Bible don't say that. So you can, if you would prefer, if you'd like to. Well, that's why we're not contentious. Now, if a woman shortens her hair and she don't have to wear it down to the ground, very seldom you see a woman's hair down to the ground when she's in the standing position. But we know that the woman that washed the Messiah's feet with her tears, and she wiped them with her hair, she had to have hair that was substantially longer than down to the shoulders. And the longer the hair, the more glory. And the more it's covered, the more safe she is in the presence of both man and angels. And it's a reference to Yahweh in remembrance. Do this in remembrance. It really has a glorious connotation. The metaphor of this is beautiful because it's typed out of the garden. She was naked. She was not covered. And Satan saw her beautiful hair, her glory, and he lusted. It's natural for a man to lust for a woman that has long hair. It's natural. The shorter a woman's hair, the less he lusts. Although he will lust for a woman that's got short hair. Because a woman's got an attractive body, he's going to lust for her, whether she's bald. I've seen some women that are beautiful just being bald. But not many. I have never seen an ugly woman with long hair. Especially, I could name somebody that would be probably, you would know, like a Loretta Lynn's sister. And she had long hair. Beautiful long hair. And I saw her on stage one night. And her hair was dragging the floor. Oh my God, she had on a beautiful white gown. And she looked, it was awesome. That needs to be covered. It really does, because there's something psychologically here. I don't know what it is. It's a glory. The longer, and the Bible does say longer. I was debating, this is 40 some years ago, maybe longer. And the woman challenged me. She said, it don't say that a woman should have long hair, because she had short hair. I finally found out she had a wig on. She wanted to preach. And I called her down, and she said, "Well, my husband can't preach, and he's got some kind of a sort of." She's trying to say, well, like Aaron, you know, Aaron cutting. He wasn't much of a, or Moses. He wasn't much of a spokesman, and Aaron was a stand-in. And yet when I come to find out she had a wig on, she went bald-headed. I prayed for her one night, and my ring, I had a wedding ring on, and my wedding ring, I was doing some mechanic work, working in a garage, and my wedding ring, I got a short in a between the starter. I was working on a starter, and I got up on the battery hot post, and I hung my ring in there, and it sort of got a little hot. And it had a little, one my ring had a little nick in it, and it caught when I laid my hand in her hair. I was praying for her to repent, because she wanted to preach all the time. And when it hung in her hair, so help me, I didn't know that she had a wig on. But when I lifted my hand off of her head, it hung her hair, and her wig came off. And there she was, bald-headed. And she grabbed her wig just like I'd uncovered her nakedness. And she was so embarrassed by it. And she never did try to preach anymore. And I do believe that Yahweh punished her naturally by having her hair to fall out, because she wanted to usurp authority over a man and to preach. And she's a pretty good preacher. You see, ladies and gentlemen, nature itself. That woman, by her long hair, it's given for a covering. Yahweh wanted that hair covered, just like he wanted the blood that came from the vagina of a woman once a month. If she's natural and she's not pregnant, she will bleed if she's of age, childbearing age, and she hasn't passed the time of her flower, as the Bible would say. And so, the same thing applies to the head. What caused it wasn't the vagina, the lesson for the vagina. It was the glory of the hair that Satan seen Eve uncovered with her husband nowhere around. The covering is appropriate. If a woman has long hair, she is to have a covering, especially when she prays to Yahweh. Don't you know that it's a shame for a woman to pray to Yahweh uncovered? That's what it said. It said, then Mary took a pound of ointment, of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of the Messiah and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And if you've ever made any of the precious anointing oil of the book of Exodus chapter 30, you'll know why that the odor of the ointment, you know, you can just put it on your hand and anoint somebody and you can smell it for hours after that. It'll be on your hands and on her head where you anoint her. But this woman took her hair. It had to be way down below her waist that she just reached behind her and pulled her hair around and wiped the Messiah's feet with her hair. What glory! When there are head coverings worn during congressional services, that is, when they pray and prophesy. So apparently, there is no time when a woman should not be praying, therefore, no time when a woman should be uncovered, because Paul says to pray without ceasing. Now, if you do that, and you've got a covering of some kind, and I'm telling you, it don't take a lot of covering to hide that glory. And it does have a manner of respect. But if you're contentious about it, you know, you can't tell another man how to run his household. But you can point You can point the man with instruction, and this is what the elders are for. You can have this message by simply writing Pastor Buddy, and I'll make this message available to you for the teaching. Now, again, why would we need our hair covered or uncovered? If in the case of a man, it's a shame for a man to pray with his hat on, not his hair. Nobody would think that a man was covered if he lifted his cap and you just saw his hair. But when you see a man praying with his cap on, it's an insult. Even the Baptists know better. Any humble man will don or doff his cap or his hat or his covering. He'll take it off when he looks up to pray to Yahweh. Because nature itself will teach you that it's a shame for a man to pray to Yahweh with his head covered. Now, if he don't wear a cap and he's got long hair way down like a woman, he's got to feel ashamed when he prays to Yahweh, because the Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. But in the same token, it's a shame for a woman to have short hair. Maybe I said too much right there. But it's the truth. If one is opposite of the other, the word cover, I want you to know and to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head. Now I want you to think about that. Who's his head? Who's man's head? If a woman prays without her covering, she dishonors her husband. If a man prays to Yahweh covered, he dishonors Yahweh, because Yahweh's his head. You see that? I hope you can see that. Matthew chapter 8, verse 24, the word covered. The ship was covered with the waves, the Bible says in Matthew 8, 24. That word is katakalupta. Covered or uncovered is judging yourself. 1 Corinthians 11, 13. Is it proper for a woman to pray to Yahweh with her head uncovered? Covered or veiled to the forehead means that she has her hair covered. Her hair is her glory, and she does not want to step before the Yahweh with her glory uncovered, her hair. And so in honor and respect to Yahweh, what you're doing this for is when you go back, when you come before Yahweh with your head covered, you're showing him that you remember what your mother done. And out of respect to Yahweh, you cover yourself if you're a woman and you pray or prophesy to Yahweh. And a man, likewise, he doesn't come with his head covered when he prays or prophesies. He uncovers his head so that he wouldn't dishonor Yahweh, because Yahweh is his head. And just like the blood being the covering for the woman in the garden, all of our sisters of a childbearing age, they have an issue of blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, and blood is given for a covering. It's a cover. See how this fits together in the relationship to the Garden of Eden? And Paul says, our tradition is that we still have our covering on. Now, let me give you the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 10. For this reason, just what I have said to you tonight, for this reason and because of the angels, the woman ought to have her hair covered. For this reason and because of the angels. For this reason and because of the angels, the woman ought to have the sign of authority on her head, which is her veil, or which is her covering. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness of our speech. And we're not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away. But their minds were hardened, for unto this very day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil, the covering, remains unlifted, because it was removed in Christ for the headship, the man. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil of darkness lies over the head. But whenever a person turns to Yahweh, the veil is taken away through headship. When a man comes up, he doesn't wear a veil. He doesn't wear a covering for his hair or for his head. Because his head is Christ, and when he uncovers his head, he glorifies Yahweh. Because he is the glory of Yahweh. He's speaking Yahweh's words and commandments. A woman who is veiled covers her head so that they too shall be one flesh, and Yahweh only recognizes the headship. And I'll have you to know that the head of every woman is a man. When Yahweh said it's not good for a man to be alone, I'll make a helper. It was the man that was put to sleep, and the woman came from his side with her head covered. There's only one recognized, but there's two beings there. Now, to be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever, you have the woman covered and the man uncovered, or the man covered and the woman uncovered. You have a direct opposition, and that's being unequally yoked together. The principle of male headship goes back to creation. Eve was created from Adam and for Adam to be a helper with her head covered, because the wearing of the veil would not trace its origination to the garden. But as soon as man was put out of the garden, he was given clothes, she was given a covering. And today, that still stands because of the nature and the temptation and the weaknesses that we have in divine order of headship. A man uncovers his head, a woman covers hers, for they two shall be one. One head showing, that's the husband's. The other head is covered. Because of the angels. And when Yahweh sees this order, divine order, it gives him a sense of satisfaction that we're still carrying on the family tradition. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you got my message here tonight, and I'm so thankful to be with you on this part of the series of the hair given for a covering. In case of a man, a man is to uncover his head when he approaches Yahweh in respect. All religious people that I've ever known, with respect, when prayer is to be made, they'll reach up and take their caps off, or their hats off, or their coverings off. Now, they don't take their hair off. They take their veil or their covering off of their head. And that's what Yahweh's talking about for a woman. She doesn't take her covering off, but a man does. And it shows divine headship respect. And by doing this, you have you have impressed Yahweh. Yahweh likes protocol. He likes for you to know what he's done in the past and that you're carrying on the family tradition. The Bible says the tradition of the elders. And that's been handed down, just the old-fashioned way of men in our country. And I think it's probably around the world that man still covers his head. When he's not in the presence of Yahweh, he wears some kind of a covering. But when he comes into the presence of Yahweh, he no longer wears the veil. He takes it off. A woman in the presence of her home or her husband or her close friends, it's all right for her to uncover her head because she's at peace. But when she goes out into public, she should cover her head. Or when she prays and prophesies, she should cover her head. Or when a man and a woman approaches Yahweh for prayer, one should be covered, the woman, and the man should be uncovered. That's a tradition of the elders. That's been handed down to us for generations. And it's still the power of the Mighty One. It is still the way, the truth, and the life. And I know tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that Yahweh is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they're safe. I'm sponsored by Dr. Gary. 1-877-289-7439. Brother Paul, 1-800-253-2748. If you'd like to write me, just write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. If you'd like to call me tonight, area code 423-626-2172. I love you. I'll see you Friday night, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Central, around the world on WWRB. Yahweh bless you. And you men, preach the word. Be instant in season. You sisters, obey the word. And be a testimony, a living testimony, that you love your Creator. Yahweh bless you. No.